Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning in to the D-Hour Show Radio Network. The hostess with the most is Miss Fabulous. It's the I Got Something to Say Show. Let's go. Today is Monday, December the 3rd, 2012. It is the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Poetic Justice, a.k.a. Miss Fabulous. And I am on the I Got Something to Say radio show of the D-Hour Show Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Yes, 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 indeed, another fantastic Movies and Music Monday. And I'm also joined with my best, should I say, no other producer, no other CEO, founder of a radio network treats us as good as this man right here. I'm talking about the very incomparable Mr. D. Slate. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. I am good, definitely. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the I Got Something to Say radio show. Feeling good, looking good, everything good. G-O-O-D.
Wow. When I say I was running to get to the Anonymous Blue Studio in Virginia Beach, Virginia, for those people who live in the Hampton Roads area, I was in Norfolk at rehearsal at the Atox Theater. When I say I was red light, green light, red light, green light, red light, green light, wow, I want nothing but fame. Made it home in like 8.2 minutes. Get it, get it, get it, get it. We're also joined by my other co-host, and they're super duper duper. He had a birthday last week, so happy, happy birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about CK is in the building in Anonymous Blue Studios. What's going on, CK?
Nothing much, PJ. How's everybody doing tonight?
What's going on, birthday boy? What's happening?
Man, it's good to be back. I miss the family. I had to take care of some things along with a birthday, so I'm back. I'm ready to rock and roll and have some fun with y'all tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a little bit later in the show, we're definitely going to get into what you did for your birthday, but keep it, you know, keep it radio ready. And also, last but certainly not least, what you say?
Yeah, we want to know what you did for the early hours of your birthday, not the late hours.
Ooh, Ghostbusters! And also, we got Mr. Photographer, author, poet, beatboxer in the Anonymous Blue Studios. He goes by the name of Mr. Norfolk. Mr. Norfolk in the building.
I don't think Al is in the building just quite yet.
Okay, absolutely. He's always running late for work. We're going to have to talk about that. Yes, but Al, Mr. Norfolk, should I say CK, Miss Fabulous, and our wonderful, very comparable producer, D. Slate, we're here for another wonderful segment. This segment is entitled Movies and Music Monday. If you want to be a part of the show, 718-766-4553. That number again is 718-766-4553. You can catch us on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and Blog Talk Radio. And also, you can check us out on Facebook, The Hour Show, the IEYE Got Something to Say Radio Show page, and our Twitter page for the D Hour Show. So we got a lot going on tonight. Tonight, we will be featuring the following holiday, Poetic's Holiday Home for the holidays. I don't know why I said holiday twice, but maybe I'm feeling a certain kind of way. I'm feeling kind of yes, right?
Really?
And then I also got the Stiletto Diva Throwdown Countdown with yours truly, Miss Fabulous, and also Graffiti Street Bridge Basement. Y'all know about that beatbox. Mr. CK be bringing the quote of the day. He'll be bringing to us some famous birthdays. He has some conversation. You know how we do with CK on the scene.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Norfolk, if he ever comes into the office tonight and into the studio on tonight, he'll be bringing us to Say Something News and ask out anything. And we got some crazy, crazy questions, of course. And last but not certainly least, D. Slate will be talking sports with D. Slate, and as well as the Ghetto Gourmet will be drumming up some holiday favorites for us. So we're going to kick it off right now with our casual conversations segment. Now, these are the things in which we're going to discuss. And then I also negated to include on tonight, we will be speaking with author, producer, director, college professor, Mr. Booker T. Matchison, the author of the novel Snitch. And he's done so, so many other things. So we'll be getting in with him on this evening on the I Got Something to Say show. Definitely want you to call in and be a part of the show and be a part of the casual conversation. Once again, that number is 718-766-4553. 718-766-4553. Now, these are the casual conversations that we're going to discuss on tonight. For those in the listening audience, we applaud your effort. Thank you for tuning in each and every Monday. But tonight we're going to talk about the viral picture about the police officer who purchased a pair of shoes for a homeless man in New York City. We're going to also discuss on tonight, less than 30 days until the new year, what are some of your resolutions? And last but certainly not least, being that it is the holiday, we talked about versus saying Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. So I want to say Happy Holidays to you and yours. But we're going to talk about charities and the holidays and how the two of those kind of correspond with one another. Also some special events throughout Norfolk, the Addict's Nutcracker. That's why I'm so out of breath right now, trying to get from the Addict's Theater, which I am the narrator for the second year in a row of the Addict's version of the Nutcracker. It'll be taking place December 7th and 8th. At the Addicts Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. Get your tickets, Ticketmasters, and it's going to be a delight for the whole family. So we hope that you'll be able to come out and support that, and it gives back to a great, great cause. Now, CK and D. Slate, have you all seen the picture that I'm talking about, the viral picture about the police officer who purchased some shoes for a homeless man? Have any one of you all seen that picture?
Yes, I have.
Wow. What are your thoughts?
I think it's nice. I think that, a lot of times, a lot of individuals out there, a lot of people are afraid to help out the homeless. And I think there's so many knuckleheaded individuals out there who's given a bad rap to the homeless because there's been people who's been running scams and different things like that. To get money or get more money or stuff like that. So it's harder. So I think with that happening, it's harder for people to want to give and help out the homeless because they're always thinking in the back of their head, is this a person trying to run scams on me, or is this person really homeless and different things like that. But I think that it just shows character and it shows so much humanitarianism for individuals, even police officer, because the traditional role of a police officer is to protect and serve, but also help the community, and those are the old school values of being a police officer. And he just proved that, he has a great heart, he's a real great humanitarian. And it's always great to be able to help the homeless and, give them things that that they don't have, or give them something that they need. So I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. And I could not agree with you more. Definitely at an early age, we're often taught one or two ways with this. The police are bad, you know, they're this, they're that. Or, like you said before, officer friendly, they're taught to, you know, you're taught at an early age. It all depends on your upcoming, your home training and so forth. In Boston, you know, police officers were always in parades. They were always helping the elderly, helping children. They were very visible in schools. And when I came to Virginia, same thing applicable. And, you know, I'm not going to discuss what I do during the day, but, you know, it's somewhat congruent to law enforcement and public safety. And, you know, nonetheless, it all goes back to having a heart first. You know, you could put on a uniform, you could put a badge, but if you don't have a beating heart under the layer of those things, none of those things are significant. You have to have some type of empathy when you work with the public. So that picture for me as a photographer, you know, as a person in the field, and just as a human, it just sends chills up my spine. It just made me have, as the people say, I felt a certain kind of way, because truly, any of us can be a paycheck away from that same case scenario, and at the end of the day, it didn't matter, white, black, Democratic, Republican, you know, homeless, you know, have a house or whatever the case may be. It was another human being showing some type of empathy towards another human being. For Thanksgiving, this is my fifth year in a row. Went to the Salvation Army here in Norfolk, Virginia, and, you know, like I say, we always chop it up. We talk about sports, you know, we talk about life in general, and those guys could, you know, volunteer the men's homeless shelter. It is just so refreshing to be able to communicate with them, and they look forward to seeing me. Some of the people are still there from the same year, and you're like, oh, man, I wish their situation would have gotten better, but you know what? It could be worse. You know what I mean? It could have got worse. CK, have you had the opportunity to see the picture that we're speaking about?
Yes, I did, and I think that's one of the most generous gifts that a police officer has done, or anyone for that matter. If it had been me, I would have done the same thing. I thought that was really generous or really kind. And, you know, as you all both were saying, you know, the image of the police officer as per has always been negative, but this came a little light that, you know, that the season of giving still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a heart and to share that, I mean, blessings have gone up. That's just how I feel about. That's how I feel about that. Blessings have gone up.
Absolutely. It was very, very touching. Two other pictures, and then we're going to move on to the next topic, that as a photographer, once again, you know, you can tell 1,000 words in one picture setting. And that is so, so very true, because, you know, just in the emotion, the tension of the face, you know, your nonverbals, if there's a particular incident that's taking place, you know, it makes you feel an emotion because you are trying to think about what that person is feeling at the time of the photograph, be it planned or unplanned. And the other photo, that's being discussed is that the President of the United States, President Barack Obama, kind of reinvented the back of the bus case scenario, Rosa Parks. Have you all seen that picture? He's on an empty bus and he's at the front of the bus, kind of looking away. A lot of people were saying that it was stunt publicity. A lot of people were saying they didn't understand what was the reason behind the photograph. This is my school of thought. It had not been for, you know, our illustrious Queen Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King and other leaders, civil rights leaders, we wouldn't even be able to look at the television. We probably would not be able to get on the bus to take a picture, you know, without restraints and chains. So, you know, for people to be so ignorant and indignant and disrespectful to our POTUS of this United States of America, regardless, I think that just sets aside untruth for his character. He was just sending a message. Have you all seen that photograph?
Ahead,
I guess not, because you all took 10 minutes to respond. I was like, Annie, are you okay? So you all have not seen that picture, I take it.
No,
when
you
have the opportunity. Okay, CK, you say you have not seen the picture?
I've seen it.
I'm what are your thoughts
right
on that?
I think, you know, a lot of people over-exaggerate a lot of things, and it's, and especially in social media. So looking at this picture, he's just like, he's sitting in history. I mean, that's not anything to really make a big deal about it. I mean, he's history himself, and to sit in where it all began in some parts, the civil rights movement, I mean, I don't think it's offensive. I don't think, you know, I don't think anything wrong with it. And I just think they make a big deal out of anything. I bet if he took, like, a drink out of one of the water fountains from the civil rights era where it says colored and white on, they'd probably make a big deal out of that. I like the picture. It shows that he shows patriotism to the civil rights era and the people who lived through it, who the people who died in it, and the people who moved forward from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree too, CK, because it also shows a timeline of history, one of the first African-American women to take a stance so others can be able to sit. She stood, so now we can sit where we want to, and President Barack Obama was our first African-American president of the United States of America. It all depends on who you're receiving history from. Say, no, I disagree. XYZ was our first black president. But from my understanding, my knowledge, and my 30 years plus living on this earth, my natural life, President Barack Obama is our first black president. African American, color, however you want to describe it, he is one of the most prolific leaders of this time. So we're going to move on. Because we're approaching the time that we're going to start off Poetic Pitch, and then we're going to also be speaking with, once again, author, producer, director, as well as professor, Booker T. Madison. And he's going to be talking about a couple of projects that he has in the works and some things that he's done in the past. Now, we are 30 days shy, or less than 30 days, should I rephrase, of approaching the new year, 2013. A lot of people wait until that time until they decide, this is what I'm going to do to improve upon my life. What are some of your resolutions? And I, you know, personally, I'm going to start with me. I don't have resolutions. I have solutions. So some things that I want to work on that I would discuss publicly, I would say I want to build more character. I want to work on the physical aspects of my life that will be able to result in the inside of my life. Because if you don't think healthy, you don't live healthy. And everything going out has to be the same matching in. That's why your yin and your yang has to be on the same level. Also, kind of want to work on just being a better person. And then most of all, just improve upon the quality of life. You know, maybe employment change, go back to school, work towards my PhD, you know, because I'm approaching the big 40 next month. So, you know, it's just like a big timeline for me. What are some of the things that you want to work on, D-Slate? Do you have resolutions or do you have solutions?
I don't have any resolutions because I'm going to be too busy going on my revolution.
I know that's right.
You know, I have a few things that I know for sure that I'm going to be taking care of in the new year, you know, and that's, you know, my film production company and some different things that I'm going to be working on, my novel that I'm working on right now, you know, and just, you know, a few things like that, and just continuously building, you know, this radio network that we're on all the time, you know, can just building the D-Hour radio network and just networking with more incredible individuals. And just getting out there, man, and just making my contribution. I don't brag and boast, but I do consider myself to be to have talent, and I wanna put that talent to use, and just be able to give back, you know, and because you know, I think that honestly, personally, myself, I think that the movie industry is lacking a whole lot right now. You know, I mean, they're doing remakes and different things like that, so they're lacking a lot of creativity right now. So I feel like it's my duty to give back the creativity that is lacking.
Wow, interesting, and definitely also very well said. You know, so you're talking about contributions and giving back on your resolution, or should I say revolution, back to the community or the industry, and then just working on you as an individual. So I like it, I like it, I like it, thumbs up. What about you, CK?
I have a mixture of both. Revolution. And I have a revolution as well. For 2013, me personally, I want to do more than what I've done in 2012. I've always say, you can always go bigger, better, go beyond. MJ said it best, go above your horizon. There's no limits. And I personally want to do more. This year, I've written 5 books in total.
Wow.
A couple of interviews I've done. I've gotten the opportunity to be on radio. I want to expand more. I want to give back. So next year, I plan to do more charity, more involvement with organizations, and give back creativity, give the creativity back, because like you said, they are making remakes of everything that we have seen maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. Let's give them something new, you know. Let's do a little something different. I look forward to a much successful year in 2013.
Absolutely. Well, if you're interested in sharing with us your resolution or revolutions or your solutions, definitely can get in where you fit in on 718-766-4553. That number, once again, it's 718-766-4553. It is the I Got Something to Say radio show, the D Hour Show radio network, blog talk radio at its best. And I'm yours truly, Miss Fabulous, a.k.a. Poetic Justice, D. Slate, and CK are in the building. What we're going to do right now is prepare ourselves to govern ourselves accordingly, and we're going to go ahead and prepare for the first musical break, which is going to be Poetic's Home for the Holiday Picks. Yes. You go into the grocery store, you go on the elevator, you go on the highway, anything short of the restroom, and you're going to be hearing a lot of this between now and December the 25th, or should I say, what is it, Old Christmas, January 7th? Did you all know
that's
that?
Old Christmas
is January 7th. And that's my brother's birthday, too, by the way. So, yes. Shout out to my brother, Stephen, wherever you are, Stephen. All right? That's my older brother, too. But we're going to keep this thing moving like U-Haul. If you can hear me in Radio Land, give me a clap twice. Poop. If you can hear me twice, clap twice. See, that was a trick question. If you can hear me twice, clap twice. But I only said it once. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the I Got Something to Say show. We always have something to say. So take it away, producer. When we come back, hopefully we can get a special, special guest on the line, author Booker T. Matheson of the novel Snitch. Take it away, D. Slate.
Yes, it's the I Got Something to Say radio show. And I'm telling you right now, it's time to do it like we always do. We got some Poetic Home for the Holiday Picks. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. But don't worry. We got plenty of music to come throughout the show. Home for the holidays. Home, holidays. Snow. Jingle. Get ready because the holidays are coming. The holidays are upon us. I Got Something to Say radio show. Please stop texting me, damn. Do you have something to say?
Hang all in this mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright. And cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night.
City, boy. Ain't nothing like that.
Shop through hustle and bustle. Snow and lights make Wonderland out this concrete jungle. There's miracles on 34th Street. On a train, get that lady with all them bags you see. Radio City for the Christmas show. We making angels in the snow, giving honey lots of kisses under mistletoe. Snowball fights in courtyards. See Santa Claus and sing Feliz Navidad. New York State of Mind at Christmas time. And
all the children showing their new clothes and toys.
On the microphone. And when I'm not chilling here with my people at Media Cartel in Virginia Beach, Virginia, I'm on the I Got Something to Say radio show.
back live, back live here on the I Got Something to Say radio show, the D Hour Show Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and your local time. The time is now 35 minutes after the hour, 9:35, back live. And ladies and gentlemen, that was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas holiday treat. What did we have to start us off, D Slate?
We had Donny Hathaway with This Christmas. We had the Jackson 5. The Jackson 5, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And, of course, Mary J. Blige featuring Angie Martinez with Christmas in the City.
Thank you for that. And, you know, my picks are very near and dear to me. Every time I select the weekly musical picks, it's something that is held significant. And those songs just make you think of the holidays and make you think about, you know, being with family and friends and just being able to be blessed and grateful. So that this Christmas, I'm telling you, I normally zone out. I don't care if I'm in the line paying for groceries or I'm driving on the I'm not going to tell all my business. On the interstate, I don't zone out. I pay attention. I watch for all the lights. I follow all the directions because I'm a safe driver, of course. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the I Got Something to Say show. I'm the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, of course, Miss Fabulous and Poetic Justice, one all the same. We got D Slate in the building. CK is in the building. And as promised, tonight's segment is Movies and Music Monday. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very, very gifted, talented, and I want to say my big brother. That's right. Not by the same mother, but you know what? From the same industry other. What? Ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about what? I'm shutting up. I'm be quiet. I'm in the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about no other than the very talented Booker T. Matheson is in the building, Anonymous Blue Studios. What's going on, Booker T?
Not too much. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about being on the show. Thank you for inviting me on, and I'm particularly thrilled that you did the human beatbox at the top of the show. I know that you have a ton of different talents, but I did not know that you could rock a beatbox, so I'm impressed.
What? To all of my northerners, and you understand, Booker T, you understand completely. Give me a beat, and we will sit here, and we will flow. And you know what? On the I Got Something to Say show, this is how we do it. We're going to kick the flow so we can show Booker T this is how we do it on the I Got Something to Say show. Oh, y'all going to be quiet? Here we go.
Well, you know, Booker, she can also DJ and cook a pot of greens at the same time. She'll never like to talk about
that. Wow.
Yeah.
So you know that? Poetic, you're a superhero. I realize it now. You're a superhero.
Right, the S on my chest, yes. We're talking about superheroes and talking about being a Jamaican and talking about multitasking. Your name, when you Google it, it's like ding, 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 Booker T. Matheson. Wow. This guy, I'm telling you, he's an author, a writer, a director, a professor, okay, an actor, and the list goes on and on and on and on, and I'm telling you, I cannot put my copy of his former, not going to say former, but one of his later dated projects that he has, because he has so much going on, Snitch. I'm telling you, once you pick it up, you will not, I promise you, I guarantee it, you will not be able to put this book down. Let me tell you a little bit. Definitely on the streets in New Jersey, there is a simple code. You do not talk to the cops. You do not snitch, period. But the young bus driver, Andre Bolden, witnesses a crime on his route. He is compelled to make a choice. If he keeps silent, he might lose his job and be, you know, gnawed to his, of course, conscience. But if he snitches, he will lose his family and even his life. This book is definitely an explosive story that clashed between a working man and the code of the street. Gifted storyteller, once again, author, professor, writer, director, actor, Booker T. Matheson has crafted a realistic tale full of tension, raw suspense, yet infused with spiritual truth. Snitch rewrites the rule to mind your own business as well as peers, into hearts of those who seek revenge and redemption, and celebrates the ability of a community to triumph over violence and intimidation. Ladies and gentlemen of the I Got Something to Say radio show, once again I present to you Booker T. Mathison.
Well, what an introduction.
Yes.
That makes me feel like, you know, I'm special. I appreciate that.
You are very, very special. Well, let's get into it because I have my co-host, and you met my producer briefly in the green room. Dee Slade is our producer. He is the founder, CEO of the Hour Show Radio Network and the producer in particularly for the I Got Something to Say show. You'll be speaking with him. Also, we have CK in the building. He is one of our media gurus and one of our very, very gifted and talented. He, too, is also an author as well.
Yeah, he wrote five books. I mean, I want to be prolific like him. He wrote five books in the 12. My goodness, he's not playing around.
Right, he was doing the most.
I was a passion. I just like push, you know, like let's do this. I was like all for it. I never stopped.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we also have another co-host, but I believe he has the night off. His name is Al, Mr. Norfolk, and Mr. Norfolk also dibbles and dabbles in a little bit of poetry and literature, and Dee Slate does as well, and I as well. So we have all the literatures in the building on tonight, and this is a great thing. Definitely, let's talk a little bit about some of your other projects done previously that really, really gained the national attention of a lot of different people. All right, so when we talk about books, first of all, let's talk about the the inspiration. Tell us a little bit about you, Booker. Where did you come from, and where were you born, and, you know, how did you really get your humble beginnings?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question, and it's one that I like answering. I was born in Mount Vernon, New York, money earned in Mount Vernon, as it were, and I've been a writer. Or rather, I guess I should say a storyteller for as long as I can remember. I have two older brothers, and when I was as young as 2 or 3 years old, I would create worlds and characters, and I would engage in make-believe, and then my two older brothers would come and join in, and then I would direct them. Of course, you know, I didn't know that I was directing, but that was the beginning of me creating characters and directing actors, as it were. So as I, you know, grew older, I began to actually write down stories, and, you know, I even had a comic strip when I was very young, and I transitioned from writing stories. I started writing my first novel when I was nine, believe it or not, and
wow.
I submitted it, yeah, to this organization called the Institute for Children's Literature. And they accepted it, believe it or not. And when they sent the letter back saying that they'd accepted it, I thought that I'd done something wrong because, you know, I didn't tell my parents. And, you know, my parents were really, really strict. But one thing that did for me is that it made me realize that, wow, maybe there is something to this writing. And, you know, around 12, 13, I transitioned from writing stories into writing rhymes. And, you know, I'm an ex-MC who was seriously pursuing a career as a rapper and a producer, and I also was the beatbox king when I was in high school. I was the beatbox king in high school. I still have a few skills. If my lungs weren't old and gray, you know, I could do something, but I don't want to have a conniption on the line and freak out the listeners.
That's all good.
But, you know,
right?
After the only reason why I stopped my pursuit of a career as an MC, I went to Norfolk State for undergrad, and when I graduated, I immediately enrolled at NYU for film school. And my plan was to be a filmmaker and a rapper. And I only applied to NYU, and, you know, the three top film schools in the country are NYU, AFI, and USC, which are both in Los Angeles. So I didn't apply to either of those schools because, you know, that was, you know, the East Coast, West Coast was big at the time, and I didn't want to go to a Los Angeles school and come out and people think I was a West Coast rapper.
Right.
So, but film school actually spelled the end of my hip hop career because it was so rigorous in the graduate film program at NYU that I couldn't reasonably pursue both. So because I was, you know, vested in the film school education, which was remarkably expensive, you know, my hip-hop aspirations kind of went by the wayside. So at that point, I kind of transitioned from emceeing into filmmaking, but then also spoken word poetry. And as a result of being in film school and the different people that I met, I was that's how I got the whole opportunity to do acting. The film that I was in, actually both films that I was in, one just for voiceover and the other as an actual on-camera talent, were both people that I went to film school. One was Roll Bounce with Bow Wow. I was the voice in the skating ring introducing, you know, the record. So the next time you watch that movie, whenever you see them in the skating ring and you hear the DJ introducing, you know, the songs, and so that's me. And the other film was an independent cult classic called All About You, which was done by another classmate of mine, Christine Swanson. So that's kind of how I, you know, arrived at the filmmaking and the writing. And after I finished film school, I had the opportunity to write novels. I never intended to write novels, but the opportunity kind of came to me. One of my good friends, who's now my literary agent, was approached by some editors in the industry asking if she could find a book about a teenage black male protagonist that wasn't negative, because there's, you know, concern that the young adult titles were getting as racy and vile as the adult titles. So my now agent approached me, you know, hey, can you do that? And I was like, you know, I don't really write teeny bopper literature, but I was working on an original screenplay at the time, and the two producers that were attached were down in Louisiana making Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins and Soulman. So, you know, they weren't giving me the necessary notes. So I had some time. Right. So I was able to come up with the storyline for Unsigned Hype, my debut novel. And she shopped it. I got a 2-book deal. And the rest, as they say, is history. So that's, I guess, a rather breathy and long-winded answer to a short question.
Right. Well, you know, interested as I read, we were talking about Snitch, and we were talking about how you got your humble beginnings and a little bit about, you know, the culture and you wanting to be a prolific author and just having your hands in so many different diameters of the industry. As I, you know, peruse, because I'm actually a fan of your work, and we initially had contact at the Attics Theater for those who live in the greater Hampton Roads area. It was an event that I was putting on, and it was like a monthly event, as in to where authors, poets, musicians, things of that nature, from page to stage, which was actually founded and started by the executive director, Miss Gail Easley, who also in turn just got recognition from the White House as of last week. So congratulations to the Attics Theater. There was an event that took place. The First Lady was there. Yes, presented them with an award. So it's great people that come out of the Attics Theater, some great people that come out of vis-a-vis the Hampton Roads area. And I digress. But to get back to my initial point as reference, you were doing a rendition of one of your projects at that time, and I was just so engrossed in the characterization, the antagonist, the protagonistic view in which you portray these characters. And it was just done through verbals and nonverbals and a dance. And, you know, it was just awesome. And I was just really taken aback by your presentation. But I really wanted to briefly discuss a little bit about your other published book in 2011, Unsigned Hype. Truly, Unsigned Hype is a story of Tori Tyson, a teenage musical prodigy, a classically trained pianist who is more interested in making beats than playing Bach. Very, very interested. And not once did it give a description of the character's race. It can just go in so many different dynamics. But knowing you, you put on an herbalistic view about it. And it just takes on the readers onto the world of New York, the hip-hop through the eyes of a kid who is still refreshly innocent, stated the Publishers Weekly. And interesting enough, guess what? The infamous Pete Rock made a statement about your book. He states it's a great story. Tori's life, music, and personal situations were stepping stones to becoming someone's great in hip-hop music. It's a beautiful thing. So for you to get those type of you know, kudos from people in the industry and nationalist reviewers. That says a lot about you as your character and you as a contributor to the industry. So I want to applaud that as well. And just least but not last, should I say, or last but not least, I definitely want to talk a little bit about, before I pass the microphone over to CK as well as D. Slate, you did something that's near and dear to my heart. I am a wonderful woman of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Yucky! And you did something for one of my departed sorors. And I'm talking about you did a film adaptation of Zora Neale Hurston's The Gilded Six Bits. And for people who don't know in our listening audience of the Divine Nine, the late soror Zora Neale Hurston was a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And that was just awesome. You know, some of the other people that were involved with this, she's known for her novel, The Eyes Were Watching God, and I have a signed copy from her daughter or her niece, one of the two. I actually did the signing of the book, so I was taken aback. And to see you and your involvement with that, that was great. Tell me a little bit about that, and what was your purpose and your ideas behind that project?
Absolutely. I first encountered the story, The Gilded Six Bits, in African-American literature class at Norfolk State University. And I've always been intrigued by African-American life before 1950. So, you know, when I read this story, I'm like, wow, what a powerful story. And it appealed to me because, you know, Zora took a lot of heat because, you know, she was writing during the Harlem Renaissance. She was one of the most published women writers of the 1930s, regardless of race. But she took heat from a lot of her peers because she didn't write about the struggle, as it were. But that was precisely why the story appealed to me. It's set in the 1930s in the Deep South. But it's about a black man and a black woman who love each other. It's a love story. It deals with betrayal. Racism is not a primary part of the story. So that was refreshing because, you know, was racism a fact in the 30s? Absolutely. But was that the only thing that African-Americans were concerned with day to day? No, we worked, we had jobs, we loved, we had issues that didn't involve racism. So when I got to NYU Film School, we have to do what they call a thesis film in order to graduate. So I knew that, you know, period pieces are kryptonite at the box office, especially black period pieces. They're really kryptonite. So I knew that if I was going to make this film, I would have to do it as my thesis film, because, you know, once you're in the industry, you can't really determine, unless you're independently wealthy, hey, I'm going to do this movie. It was my opportunity to do it as my thesis film. But because Zora Neale Hurston is so beloved in the black arts community, I was able to attract Chad L. Coleman to play the lead. He's best known for playing Cuddy in The Wire, and he's now most recently playing Tyrese in The Walking Dead. And then I had Takiya Kima, who was Raven's mom in That's So Raven. She was also in Cosby and Living Color. Wendell Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
Takiya Kima. Wendell Pierce, who's currently in Treme. He also played Detective Bunk on The Wire. And also Novella Nelson, who most people know her as being in the Antoine Fisher story. She called Antoine, you know, the N-word throughout the movie.
Nice.
So I was able to attract them to be in the film, one, because of the prestige of an NYU graduate film, and also because of the subject matter. It's a Zora Neale Hurston adaptation, and I was the first filmmaker to adapt any of Zora's work for television. Tons of people had adapted her work for the stage, and Oprah and Halle adapted Their Eyes Are Watching God in 2004 for, I believe it was ABC, but I adapted the film, and it aired on Showtime in 2001. So that's a claim that I hold very dearly, of being the first filmmaker to adapt her work. So that's something that I'm pretty proud of.
Wow. Compliments and kudos to you, definitely.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
Yes. I'd like to pass over the microphone to D. Slate to go ahead and kick it off with a couple of questions or comments that you have for Booker T. Matheson. Yes, and I'm going to get back with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, first, Booker, man, I want to say that for me, it's truly a pleasure, definitely, to have you on the show. You're an extremely talented brother, man, and it's really good to see brothers like yourself out there, just putting your creativity to use. And I spoke upon that earlier about just talented individuals just being able to give back to the entertainment community. You know, I mean, television, movies, books. I mean, the novels and books are actually doing pretty good right now. But, you know, television and movies, you know, they're subjected to doing remakes, and television is solely leaning on reality TV, and it's like we're getting away from creativity. So it's really good to see you know, brothers like yourself bringing creativity back, and it's just giving it back, man. Because I really do think that's what we need right now. We need to bring back creativity and give people a chance to feel and see something and read something and just to explore something new. In that aspect, I think it's I definitely applaud you and everything that you're doing. First of all, you being from money earning Mount Vernon, growing up, did you ever run into Heavy D?
Well, you know, the answer is no. And you know, it's interesting when people ask me where I'm from. You know, I say that I'm from Virginia because I actually, even though I was born in Mount Vernon, I lived half of my life in Virginia and half of my life in New York. So I actually claim Virginia because my formative years were spent here. My father was a school teacher in Harlem, and he transitioned from being a teacher to parks and recreation, which brought us here to Virginia. So, you know, my New York friends, they disagree, and, you know, they say, oh, you can't be from, you know, Virginia if you were born here and lived half your life here. But, you know,
right.
I claim VA, so no, I never ran it into Heavy D, but it was nice, you know, having Pete Rock, you know, write a blurb for Unsigned Hype, because he was a huge influence, you know, because of me making beats growing up. Pete Rock was like, in the 90s, he was like the hottest producer on the planet, and he still, you know, makes hot beats. So
yeah,
unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to meet Heavy. It would have been nice, and it was really sad, you know, when he passed. I mean, so young.
Oh, absolutely.
Really,
one of the most talented brothers in hip-hop. I agree. I definitely wholeheartedly agree. Now, as a writer, what I'd like to know is how long does it normally take you to write a book?
That's actually a very good question, and it really varies. Case in point, my first novel, Unsigned Hype, that novel I wrote very, very quickly, ridiculously quick. It was, I believe it or not, I wrote it in 6 weeks. And my agent, she tells me never say that in an interview, but I have to put that number into context, because writing begins long before you sit down at a keyboard and start pecking away, drafting pages. You know, it begins with you experiencing human life, being moved and passionate about a particular issue or a story, being versed in a particular viewpoint and the characters in their worlds. So the reason why I was able to write Unsigned Hype in such a short amount of time is because I've been living with that story for a very long time. For those who have read the book and for those who will read the book, Tori, the protagonist, is very much like I was when I was 15. And his mentor character in the book, Mr. Lord, is very much how I am now. So I was able to write that book really, really quickly. And interestingly enough, I just finished the sequel to it. And it took me a whole lot longer than 6 weeks, let me put it to you that way. And Snitch, on the other hand, took me 2.5 years to finish. So it really depends on the story. I think it also depends on the author. I mean, CK, I mean, being able to draft 5 books in a year, some of my other author friends are able to be that prolific. And, you know, that's just the talent. I think that, you know, that's just being in the moment, being passionate and driven. And I would love to be able to churn out 5 books in a year. But I'd be lucky to be able to churn out 5 books in 10 years, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I think that just reading some of the synopsis about your two books that you wrote, definitely phenomenal read, and I definitely can't wait to check it out. Now. Do you agree that you know, that we're in this entertainment industry, that it's lacking creativity right now?
I don't think it's lacking creativity at all. I think that what we have gatekeepers in the film industry and in the publishing industry who determine what books will be published, what television shows will get made, what films will get made. I have so many author friends, filmmaker friends, who have all manner of diverse subject matter, completed screenplays, completed manuscripts, completed show treatments, spec scripts, you name it. But the challenge is not so much the creativity, it's actually getting a project made, and that's where the challenge is. So, no, it's not a lack of creativity. It's really a lack of opportunity. And I don't mean that in the sense that we haven't advanced, both in publishing and in film and television, which we absolutely have. But even still, you know, Hollywood in general is contracting. The publishing industry is contracting. Less books are being published, fewer movies are being made. And that's in general. And we know that African-American subject matter in particular, it's even harder to get something made. So, you know, for me, that's a reality. It's a reality that I'd be foolish to ignore. And at the same time, I choose to place my energies in creating good stories and being prepared for the opportunities when they come, because you can actually get eaten alive becoming frustrated and worrying about the lack of opportunity and that there's so few movies and television shows and books being published, and just the sheer number of people who aren't able to actually be in the entertainment industry full time and make a living at it. It can drive you crazy if you allow it to.
Absolutely.
I agree. Well, I'm going to pass the mic over to CK. I'm sure he has a question or a comment for you, Booker. CK, what do you have for Booker T?
Okay. Well, Booker T, I just want to say thank you for coming on. This is a great, great interview. I'm going to try to, like, combine my question and comment. My question would be, for anybody who is starting out in the industry as far as writing books or as in filmmaking or even in directing, what advice would you give them?
You know, it's the same every time, and I think it happens more so with books than film and television, but people often ask me, hey, you know, I want to write a book, what do I need to do, I want to write a book, and then, or someone's friend will say, hey, Booker, I have this friend who wants to write a book, or I have this cousin or this aunt or this uncle who wants to write a book, you know, I need to put him in contact with you to give him some advice, and the first thing that I say is finish the manuscript. And that may seem overly simplistic, but it's the step that most people never get beyond.
Absolutely.
It's very easy to say, oh, hey, I'm writing a book, or I want to write a book, or my life should be a book. But it's incredibly difficult to get the entire story down. And that's the first thing that I tell people. And, you know, there are people that, you know, I develop ongoing relationships with, I guess, in kind of a mentorship capacity. And, you know, I tell them there's nothing else to discuss until you've done that first step, finish the manuscript. And you'd be surprised, 99 out of 100 people, you never hear from them again because they cannot finish that first step. So all the other grandiose notions of fame and fortune and book contracts and the like, it's foolish to even discuss that if that very first step of finishing the manuscript has yet to be undertaken. And then related to that, after you've written or finished that manuscript, and you as a writer, you know that it's not about writing, it's about rewriting. And then that's the second step that stumbles, it becomes a stumbling block for that half of the one person that remains, because most people, if they are able to tough it out and get through the manuscript, now you're telling them to go back and rewrite it, you give them notes, and you basically rip it to shreds, because the first draft is always terrible. Even for professional writers, it's always terrible. So the second step is to then be able to receive notes, because it's an art form to receiving notes. And then to be able to go back in and to rewrite that manuscript time and time and time and time again. And this is before it's even ready to be submitted to anyone to even look at it, to consider it for publication. So if you're able to finish the manuscript and you're able to have someone who will give you really, really good notes, and you're able to execute those and go back in and keep writing until it's as good as it can possibly be, then you have to get the thing edited, copy edited, story edited. Then at that point you can start the process of writing query letters to agents who represent authors who have written books that are similar to yours to see if they will take on your manuscript, because the publishing industry and the film industry both, they don't accept unsolicited material, meaning, you know, you can't send that awesome manuscript you wrote or that awesome screenplay to Warner Brothers unless they ask you for it, or unless you have some inside connection with someone that they've done business with before. So then you're butting up against the gatekeepers once again. So that would be my advice for those who are looking to get into the industry.
Absolutely. CK, you have another question for Booker T?
Well, as far as me, I know most of my books, with the exception of one, have been mostly poetry books. And I had to, a lot of times, like you said, finish the manuscript was the first thing. I would be up to like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, still typing and still writing and still coming up with creativity and music playing in my ears and everything. And but the short story book I written, it was a lot of time, a lot of concentration put into it, plus a lot of memory. So I was wondering, is that a good start for who's gotten into it? I got friends that have written 6-7 books versus my 5, so, and they're like way beyond me in advanced writing. But I mean, do you think from your own personal perspective, do you think that's too much, or you think it's not enough, or you think what do you think overall of it?
What I think is the best of all of your work, I would say focus on that and determine what you want to do with it, because, you know, you may not be a person who wants to get a publishing deal. You know, I know some self-published authors who've sold more books than I have. You know what? They're making a whole lot more money than me because, you know, they're not having to pay the publisher 85% of each sale, and they're getting a 15% royalty, which is pretty standard for a publishing contract. So really determining, okay, what do I want to do with it? Do I want to go the self-publishing route, or do I want to seek a publisher? And then once you determine what you want to do with it, then select your best title, the one that you think is strongest, the one that has resonated the most with the people who you've allowed to read it, and then focus on that project, because you figure each of these projects, they're like a baby. So, you know, you want to get one baby raised and out of the house before you release another one. So you want to get it edited, you want to get it get your cover done, you want to figure out your distribution plan, you know, and then you want to hit the streets, get it sold, give it time to build an audience, and then go on to the next one. Because I guess, you know, if focusing on too many projects at one time, I'm a big believer in utilizing the laser focus so that you're able to concentrate your efforts one project at a time, because, you know, being prolific is great, but you want to make sure that you're not sacrificing the quality of the many by not zeroing in on the one.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yes, ladies and gentlemen of the I Got Something to Say show, we are actually in the Anonymous Blue Studios on our show of the Hour Show Radio Network with no other than the prolific, very epic, very Marriott, definitely is just on and on and on for his adverbs that can describe this very, very talented gentleman. Yes, we're talking about no other than author Booker T. Mathison is in the studios. A couple of people on Facebook, my Facebook friends in particularly, Veronica Adams, she's listening in and she's enjoying the conversation. One of my friends from New York, African-American/German, Yvonne, shout out to you, who's also in the industry. So people are enjoying this information and the comments that are being presented in terms of the knowledge. You're dropping science and you're dropping knowledge about being a self-publisher versus, you know, going mainstream with publishing, being able to look at one project at a time. And all that information is extremely imperative because so many people focus on the fact, I got a book. But they're negating to look at steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 in that fashion. They just want to go from 1 to like 100 in like 30 seconds less. Right. And that doesn't even happen in the drive through. Popcorn doesn't even pop that fast. Not even to be put all the way through. You know, so these are the features that we have to highlight and understand. We have to crawl before we walk, and we have to walk before we run. And I think Mary said it best about going to get that blessing. Y'all don't hear me. So, you know, definitely to all of my inspiring, you know, poets and authors and musicians and producers and directors, anyone that's in the craft, any starving artists that we have here, 2 Up 2 Down in the state of Virginia, there's a lot of raw talent. There's a lot of untapped talent that is here, and we just have to be able to, you know, support one another and unite and just to be able to finish what we've started. And I think you said that best, Booker T. Well, I definitely want to say, and our producer is going to probably, you know, expound upon this, but, you know, tonight has been very, very interesting, very entertaining yet, but very informational, informative for our listening audience as well as myself. So I'm hoping that we can do a part two or, you know, we can get you back on the show or, you know, let you be a part of what we're doing. Yes, or hopefully we can do some collaborations in the near future. Definitely working with a couple of other, you know, notable filmmakers in the area. I've worked with Tamika Winborn, going to be doing some things with her, Charles Farmer, and there's quite a few of us that are in the industry here, filmmakers and stage play productionists, if you will, that we definitely need to band together. And Booker, I would be honored to be able to do something with you by way of entertainment or industry and just putting out a project. Do you have any closing remarks which you would like to disseminate to our listening audience at this time?
Yes, absolutely. The most important thing is to, if you're not called to it, don't do it. That's my closing salvo. But if you are called to it, the passion is what's going to sustain you. You know, when you get kicked in the face and told that you don't have talent and told that you're never going to make it, and when you get told no a million different times, because that's just the nature of the business. But if you are passionate and you know that you are called, then, you know, hold on, keep pressing, and keep working at your craft.
Absolutely. That is great, great, inspiring information. D-Slay, I know you want to forward the invitation to Booker T by way of the Hour Show Radio Network. So, sir, the floor is yours.
Well, Booker, I just want to say that it was definitely an honor, man, to have you on the show, and I definitely want to keep in touch with you personally on a professional networking level. So I'll definitely get that information from PJ, but I definitely want to stay in contact with you because I know I'm going to be starting my own film production company next year. So I definitely want to stay in contact with you, and I just want to say that as far as we're concerned here at the D-Hour Radio Network, this is your home now, man. You're welcome here anytime. Okay. You got a key to the house now, man. Anytime you want to come by, you want to hang out with us, or you got anything going on in your career, we're going to continue to support you and everything that you do, and you're always welcome.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yes. And Booker T, where can we find out more information, even purchasing the Snitch book? You know, because we're amongst the holidays, so there will be excellent, you know, stocking stuffers and things of that nature, or unsigned hype, or anything else that you have made available for print and for purchase.
Great. BookerTMattison.com, and Mattison is spelled M-A-T-T, like Tom, I-S, like Sam, O-N. BookerTMattison.com, you can read the first chapter of Unsigned Hype and Snitch, and watch the book trailer for both books at BookerTMattison.com, as well as order both books And Amazon has Unsigned Hype on sale for Christmas for just $4. So you can't beat that. Yeah, so please purchase the book. Read the first chapter on the website so you can know if you want to buy it. I'm sure if you read the first chapter, you'll probably be engaged. So definitely visit BookerTMadison.com to see film clips, press, and the like. It's Booker T. Madison Central, as it were.
Sounds good.
Wow. Now, listening audience, $4, that is tremendous for to be entertained, to be enlightened. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, we have all of our electronic devices that enables us to read, but there's nothing like being able to pick up a paperback book and, you know, to have some quiet time, some downtime, you know, in traveling, because this is traveling season, while you're on the bus, plane, train, automobile, or even in your, you're traveling in your mind, to go ahead and just expound upon a different role or a different situation and remove yourself to be someone else. So definitely give us that information
in
one more
too.
Time.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
It's available in ebook too. So if you,
see,
you know, if you're doing the Kindle and the Nexus 7 and all those devices, feel free to pick it up on ebook as well.
Absolutely. And are you available on Twitter or Facebook? Any social network sites?
Yes, Facebook is Booker T. Madison. Twitter is at Booker T. Madison. If you know the name Booker T. Madison, MATTISON, on any platform, if you plug that in, you'll find me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to say this in conclusion, right? I know probably as a child you probably got teased and, you know, probably instead of Booker with the K, it's imperative to enunciate audience. So you probably got called something else or, you know, like Booker T. Washington and things of that nature. But, you know, through taunting it builds character and look at the person that you are on today.
Amen.
Hey, right, that was a heavy A right there, right? ladies and gentlemen, we have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. Could you do me one good favor? I hope that you're able to hang on with us and enjoy the remaining of the show. But could you say, I'm Booker T. Madison, and I'm on the I Got Something to Say radio show.
This is Booker T. Madison, and I'm on the I've Got Something to Say radio show.
See, that's why he's my big brother. This is why I rock with, that's a New York thing right there. That's why I rock with Booker T. Madison. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's been more than a pleasure for us to have the opportunity to have spoken with Booker T. Madison. This will not be the last time that you hear from him on the I Got Something to Say show, and the world will be reintroduced to this gentleman because he has so much talent to offer. So definitely support our national novelists and our indie authors and writers and screenplay writers and stage play writers and so on and so forth. So this is a wonderful industry if it's done correctly, right? All right.
Indeed.
So Booker T. Washington, not Booker T. Washington. See, that's me. Look at me. Look at me. Booker T. Madison. I'm just making sure that you are yours, right? Yes, and still two great individuals, of course. So, ladies and gentlemen, Booker T. Madison, are you going to hang out with us during the duration of the show?
Yeah. How long does your show last? Is it 9 to 11, 9 to 10?
Yeah, 11 or so, whatever. You can pull off and come back.
I'm wondering how many Hampton Roads people are listening, because you know RG3 is playing right now.
Oh, Washington?
You know, this is Redskins country. You know, people are watching RG3. They were like, Booker T or RG3? I think I'll take RG3.
I think I'll take Booker, because let me tell you one thing about me. Yeah, we'll get into that with Talk Slate Sports. I can't even get it out. Talk Sports with D. Slate. When you say Washington or when someone says Dallas, I become so discombobulated. I mean, the best AFC team ever is the New England Patriots. Come on.
Not
really?
See, I'm a Steelers fan, so, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, still AFC. Right,
yeah,
still AFC. I rock with the Steelers. Right. I'm not an NFC girl, but, you know, hey, to each his own, right? But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get into this first musical break. If you're still on with us in the Anonymous with Blue Studios, we appreciate it. If not, we will still continue to support you, my brother. You have been so awesome and given us wisdom, and definitely we appreciate that on tonight. You have any last-minute remarks that you'd like to make?
No, I thank you all for having me, and I really enjoyed my time on the show, so I look forward to coming back again.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Booker T, and I hope to talk with you soon.
Take care now.
All right,
you too. Have a blessed night.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Booker T. Mathison, the author of Snitch and Unsigned Hype. He has done so, so much for the industry and making contribution. But we're going to go ahead and kick it back off to the I Got Something to Say musical break. We're going to just go ahead and throw in a little something real quick, and then we can come on back with Let's Talk Sports with D. Slate and get in with the quote of the day with our brother CK and some birthdays. And then hopefully we can get into the stiletto, Diva Stiletto Throwdown Countdown with yours truly. And, you know, we're going to be approaching the end of the show, but not quite yet. So we need you to stick around. If you have any questions, if you want to share your revolution or resolutions or solutions with us, definitely hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, and also on our I Got Something to Say radio show page. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to just take a quick music break just to bring us back into tune, and then we'll be back with D. Slate Talk Sports. So can you give us a little tainted, since we're talking about snitches, a little Slum Village? How does that work for us, D. Slate?
Oh, we got it for you right here on the I Got Something to Say radio show. Absolutely, Slum Village, which tainted right here on the I Got Something to Say radio show. Will you please stop passing me notes? Just open your mouth and say something, damn.
Think of me, think about us since the intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. It can sit around and chuck it to blase flee. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is trying to give you what you need. And he wanna know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. I would say I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type that's hella cheap. Take this girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. See, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep. Try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me. Nightstand experience with some women wanting their lifespan. I'm saying,
learned to trust in you for real. Everybody needs love, that real. I would never want nothing. Wait a minute, what you feel? Fainted if your loving was tainted.
True,
I know true love's hard to find. Just let it find you
for real.
If you found love, then keep it
real.
Keep love from being tainted.
Live. We are back live on the I Got Something to Say radio show. It is now currently in your city, 26 minutes after the hour is 10:26. We had the opportunity to speak with author, professor, director, writer of the novel Snitch. Yes, Booker T. Matheson was in the Anonymous Blue Studios. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're going to move on to our next segment for the evening. We're running about maybe 30 minutes or so towards the closing of the show, but we're not gone yet, so don't go nowhere. You still have time to call in if you want to be a part of our show. If you want to get in when you fit in at 718-766-4553. I know some of you all are watching those Redskins, or should I say Deadskins, you know. Anyways, we're moving on. Yeah, not an NFC girl, I'm an AFC girl. You know, New England Patriots all day long, because I'm from Boston and we drive white cars. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to know and defer to the man who knows sports the best. He's always doing the most. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Let's Talk Sports with D. Slate.
Welcome again, ladies and gentlemen. We are back again for the sports hookup, for the sports updates. For all those that missed NFL, that missed football over the weekend, it's time for D. Slate to break it down for you. Yes, indeed. We are back. And we started off on Thursday. New Orleans, Atlanta, the Falcons, the Saints, Creole Women, Down Low Brothers. That damn show don't mix. Here we go. The Saints versus Atlanta. It was a barnyard burner. Everybody thought Drew Brees was going to come out on top, but unfortunately, Matt Ryan and the Falcons and A-Town were able to put it down on the Saints 23-13. Then we go to Tennessee, Houston, country music. Houston Texans, Tennessee Titans. Matt Schaub and the Texans were able to put the stomping on the Titans, 24-10. Then we go to Miami, the Dolphins, the New England Patriots, Mammals and Clam Chowder. It's really going to mix. But here we go, the Patriots. Wes Welker, 100 yards, and the Patriots came out on top, 23-16 over the Dolphins. We go to Buffalo, Hot Wing Town, Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills on top, 34-18. You really just don't know how it goes down. Well, I'm going to keep it going for you. Again, we go back. Indianapolis, Detroit, the Colts, Motown, horses and soul music. I really don't know how that mixed, but let's do it. The Colts, Andrew Luck, the rookie, with 3 seconds left, he throws a touchdown. He wins it 35-33 over the Lions. We go to the Kansas City Chiefs. It was an emotional game for the Chiefs, and they put it down on the Carolina Panthers and gave them a scalping, 27-21. Then we go to Arizona Cardinals, the New York Jets. It was 6-7. I don't know if it was football or baseball. Let's go on to the next game. San Francisco 49ers, the St. Louis Rams, the 49ers, sorry, but in overtime again, we thought it was going to be another tie, but the St. Louis Rams said, I don't think so, and they came out on top 16-13. Green Bay, T-Town, Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson put a whooping on them with 210 yards and a touchdown, but Aaron Rodgers and the boys came out on top 23-14. We go to Chicago, Seattle, Windy City, Seattle, and Seattle put the defense on the Bears and came out on top 23-17. Tampa Bay, Denver, Peyton Manning and the boys said, look, we're not out, we're in the running, and the Broncos put it down on the Buccaneers 31-23. San Diego Chargers, Cincinnati Bengals, Electricity and Dogs. That damn sure don't mix. But here we go. The Bengals came out on top 20-13 over the Chargers. Cleveland Browns, Oakland Raiders, black and blue and brown. Yeah. But here we go. The Cleveland Browns was able to put down the beat down on the Oakland Raiders 20-17. We go to Baltimore, the Ravens, and the Steeltown Steelers. The Steeltown was able to steal one with the emotional Charlie Batch at the lead quarterback, doing it 23-20 over the Ravens. We go to Dallas and Philadelphia with no Michael Vick, but Tony Romo and the boys, Cowboys that is, came out on top 38-33. And right now we got a great one going down in the political state, in our home state where our president resides right now, watching RG3 versus the two-time MVP Super Bowl champion Eli Manning doing it again. Right now the Giants are on top 13-10. Steve Slayton knows sports. You better be ready, because if you get that hit in the eye with a football, trust me, I'm not the one that threw it. Back to you, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the I Got Something to Say radio show. I know it's not cool to laugh and to chuckle, but you know what? I always enjoy immensely that segment of the I Got Something to Say radio show. I love sports, and what better way to incorporate sports and a little bit of entertainment? I call it edutainment, with the football in your hand. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was provided by no other than our very own producer and CEO, founder of the D Outward Show Radio Network, D Slate No Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the quote of the day, as well as some famous birthdays and some significant things that took place on this date. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pass the microphone to my brother, CK. What's going on, CK?
All right, PJ, and our quote for today says, I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live a rest of your life as a champion. And that's by Muhammad Ali.
I like it. I like it. I like it. So what is your interpretation of that quote? I like that.
I say, as in anything that you do in your life, don't be so easy to give up. I personally, I never quit. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to work at it. And I'm going to be a champion once I'm done with it. And that's how I look at it. I mean, you look at everything you accomplished from what you've done. So that's why I say, that's why I agree with this quote so much.
Wow, that's deep, deep. So what do you got for us by way of birthdays?
All right. Five celebrity birthdays today. We got actor Brendan Fraser from the movie he's 44 years old. Singer Third Lover Rihanna for reality just 4 years old today. Rapper, Trina is 34 years old today. Actress Anna Chomsky from the movie My Girl is 32 today. Actress Melinda Williams, known as Bird on the television series Soul Food, or various movies such as The Woods, he is 37 years old today. Actor Steve Harris, who played Kimberly's husband in Tyler Perry's Oops, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, 47 years old today. And happy birthday.
All right. Well, thank you for the famous birthdays from CK. And happy birthday, belated birthday, to you, CK, from the family here at the I Got Something to Say show and the D Hour Show Radio Network. And many, many, many more to you. And happy belated birthday to my big cousin, who I often refer to as my sister. She is a fabulous mother and grandmother and a diva and entrepreneur, real estate broker. She's doing her thing in the Georgia area. So ATL in the building. So definitely Sherelle, a.k.a. Cheryl the Pearl Odom. Happy belated birthday, darling. And I hope you had a good one. All right. So we're going to keep it moving like U-Haul, y'all, after y'all can hear me at Ready Radio Land clap twice, if y'all can hear me clap twice. Yes, I'm the hostess with the mostest on the microphone, Poetic Justice, a.k.a. Miss Fabulous, CK in the building, D Slates in the building. And now what we're going to do is get into our segment on tonight, our next musical break. I like to refer to it as Stiletto Diva Throwdown Countdown. We got some good music that's going to make you take off your stilettos, even though they're looking all so cute. But you're going to take them off and you're going to do some line dancing. You're going to be from one end of the floor to the other one, I promise you. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're going to get into our next and our final musical break for the evening. And we're going to come back with some final thoughts and remarks and give you a little bit more information about the upcoming Attics Nutcracker that's going to be taking place this weekend with the storyteller narrator, yours truly, Miss Fabulous, will be in it for the second time in a row this way, the second annual show, should I say. So give you more information on how you can purchase tickets and just have our closing remarks from myself and D Slate and CK. And we've had another wonderful segment. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we do that, we're going to kick it with the Stiletto Diva, which is yours truly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to defer to you right now. D Slate, take it away.
It's the Stiletto Diva Throwdown on the I Got Something to Say radio show. Get ready for it, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming for you right now.
And I got my stilettos on.
I'm Queen of Hearts, and I'm kicking up my stilettos on the Stiletto Diva Throwdown. Go ahead, get your stilettos and get down.
Number one.
Oh, can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sling though. I sling though, if anything, I bling yo. Star like Ringo, war like a green wreck. Crazy, bring your whole set. Crazy in the range, crazy in the range. They can't figure them out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best for a chinchilla. I've been dealing the chain smokers. How do you think I got the name over? I've been thriller, the game's over. Fall back young, ever since I made the change over to platinum. The game's been a rap one. Percolator.
number 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have someone very special here this evening. Who's going to perform for us? Yeah. Jamie Foxx.
We got money. We got plenty to show. And that's funny. Cause I've seen him before. You wanna hold my hand? You wanna hold my dough? You got love for sale? I don't need it.
To the right, to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left, like you.
If you're on the East Coast, the time is now 5 minutes after 10, and we are still on the I Got Something to Say radio show, just hanging out, having a ball. I'm telling you, it took everything for me to run back to the microphone because I was jamming in my stilettos. Baby, when you say you put on the percolator, I'm too old to be percolated. I mean, we made full, complete breakfasts. That's how long the song was. But see, we do that on the I Got Something to Say radio show, independent radio, blog talk radio at its finest. I mean, some of your other local stations, you can't play the A and the B side of the album. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't hear me. Because, see, we are saying something because this is, once again, the I Got Something to Say radio show, chilling with yours truly, your girl, Miss Fabulous, a.k.a. Poetic Justice. D State is in the building. CK is in the building. And Mr. Al North has had the evening off. Yeah. Did y'all like the music playlist for tonight? Did I do my thing on the Stiletto Throwdown?
Oh, you did your thing. I gotta say, you took me back with the Chi-Town Chicago Classic Percolator. I mean, I was over here making tea, coffee. I mean, anything you can name, I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and the extended version of that, I was getting it too. I had on one stiletto. Well, I started off with two stilettos, and by the time the song was over, I had on my breakdowns. And those are called, putting on your bedroom slippers, your flip flops, or just go bare feet. So, yeah, I had my breakdowns on, but I was still getting it. Percolated. And then the St. Jamie Foxx, they don't need it. I was doing all the line dancers. What? So I got my workout on for the night. I need to change the segment to Diva Workout, but, nonetheless, I try to switch it up each and every week for us women because, we have to stay encouraged, and definitely it all incorporates to mind, body, and soul. So being able to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, hey,
what can you say other than just throw down, Diva? So we're going to keep this thing moving right now. We're approaching the 11th hour, not technically, you know, but, yeah, we are, the 11th hour. Yeah, that's pretty good, poetic, speaking to the third person. Tonight we missed the Say Something News and the Ask Al Anything, however, and then also, you know, the Graffiti Street Bridge Basement, but we'll be back with those things because, you know, we're here for you each and every Monday. Now, listen. In the next couple of Mondays, Monday will be, guess what? I don't even think you realize.
Christmas
CK,
Eve.
Anybody? 200? It will be New Year's, I'm sorry, not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Eve is also on a Monday. It will be Christmas Eve. So I guess to see if we're going to air on Christmas Eve or not, you know, next couple of Mondays. So we got some time. We can discuss it over with our producer. But we're going to be bringing you all the music classics and things of that nature, you know, to kind of smooth out your shopping experiences and the football season and, you know, all the good things of sharing time and vacation time with your friends and family. So, you know, we're going to bring a lot more special things to the I Got Something to Say show as we approach the closing of 2012. Before we get out of here, we're just going to go around the room once again and just give our reflections and closing remarks as it relates to the show and our special guests. I think tonight was an awesome show. It really was. And we stayed in the compounds of time. Yay! Ladies and gentlemen, CK, it's 7, no, it's almost 10:55 now. What you got to say, CK?
I had a wonderful kind of night. I learned a lot. And Booker T can come back anytime. I'm looking forward to talking more with him. The Stiletto Countdown, that was the stuff. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, my chair back. I'm surprised you didn't see me slide out the away from the mic for a minute, but I had fun. And these like sports, are you a fool? That's all I'm saying. Everyone, I feel about it. And be safe and enjoy the rest of the week.
Absolutely. And CK, I always want to say this. I enjoy whatever segment, because, you know, you're kind of like the potpourri. You know, we put you whatever task, and I'm telling you, you always challenge it out. I like the little music with the birthday, the celebrity birthdays, and the quote of the day, Muhammad Ali. That was totally a knockout. You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll be coming back to you with more CK on the scene or scene with CK and, you know, some other things and some movie reviews and some book reviews. So, you know, you're always the glue to hear on the I Got Something to Say show. You keep it together. So, brother, I really appreciate you all the time. And happy, happy, belated birthday. You know, it just required for me to say it twice because it's just that much special. Yes. 10:55. Nah. All right, so what you got for us, D-Slate?
Well, I just want to say, PJ, that I got your jokes because I float like a house fly and sing like a roach.
This guy is always doing the most, really.
I just want to say that, we had an incredible show tonight, as always. You know, we always bring in great shows, and it was just another one to put in the archives, another great show. And definitely you guys can check us out in the archive, and any of the shows in the archive you can check out. And just be ready, you know, for the rest of the week. We got some great shows coming up, you know, for the Tuesday spot, you know, as well as, you know, Celebrity Thursday. So you never know who's going to be on. We may have some really great guests this Thursday, so definitely make sure you guys keep listening and keep the ear out and the eye out for that information. We will be telling you guys on Twitter, Facebook, and everything, letting you know who's going to be on with us. But as always, you know, just keep tuning into the D-Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. Never know who's going to be on the show again. I Got Something to Say radio show, phenomenal once again. You guys have a great night, and, you know, stay blessed.
Thank you for that, D-Slate. Well, I want to say a couple of things before I get out of here. I'd like to give another special round of applause and humble gratitude to our special guest on this evening, author Booker T. Mathison. Definitely, brother, you know, your words were kind. They were definitely timeless, and, you know, we really appreciate your craft and your contribution to the industry. I always enjoy speaking with you because you give a lot of insight, not just to on a literary sense, but just in terms of life itself. So thank you for being my big brother. I really appreciate you so, so very much, and try to get you back on the show in the near future. Now, back to business, as always. If you are a business, if you are a proprietor, or you just want your business in the street, ladies and gentlemen, we have a promotional special that is currently running. D-Slate, tell the people a little bit about the promotion that's running right now for advertisement.
Well, definitely. Make sure you guys, if you have a business or if you have a website that you would like to advertise on the show, we have a special going on right now for $25 for the week. So if you would like to promote your business or your website, definitely contact me. You can contact me on Facebook or Twitter, but you can definitely email us at thehourshow@gmail.com, thehourshow@gmail.com. And if you want your business to be advertised, we got this promotional special going on for the holidays, $25 for the week. So definitely make sure you contact us if you want to get that advertisement in.
Absolutely, and what better way, because our listening audience is just not demographically limited. You know, some of our listeners are as far as Germany. Ladies and gentlemen, that's correct. Not Germany Street or Avenue or a lane. The actual country, the old country, Germany. Also, we have listeners in Canada. We have listeners in Hawaii. We have listeners in the United Kingdom and all throughout the United States of these America. I just combined a lot of different symbolic phrases together, but you get the big picture, you know, because we always have something to say, because it's the I Got Something to Say show. But on truth, definitely, we always try to bring the best of entertainment, poetry, music, you know, knowledge, to bring a variation of guests to you, not just musical guests, authors, actors, indie artists, and so forth, just to be able to say we have a multiplicity of or diversity of talent that is definitely entertaining our listening audience. We appreciate you each and every week. And also, if you are in the Hampton Roads area, if you are in the DMV, which is Delaware, Maryland, Virginia area, and also D.C., Washington, D.C., the Nutcracker, the second annual Nutcracker play, which is the rendition of the Addict's Nutcracker, is a rendition of the traditional Nutcracker, should I say, is being presented this upcoming Friday and Saturday, December 7th and 8th at 8 o'clock. Yours truly, I will be the storyteller narrator, Poetic Justice. You can get tickets via Ticketmaster, or you can also go on to the bus office at the Addicts Theater. The former director, co-producer of School Days, and She's Got a Habit, Crooklyn Martin, that's right, your very own Monty Ross. Monty Ross is the executive producer, and he is housed right within the Addicts Theater. Alinka Pollock, who is a good friend of mine, dated back to Norfolk State University. We go way back like car seats. That sister is so powerful, and she is a dynamic choreographer. She did the storyline and everything, and also well, the choreography for the actual show. It is wonderful. So it is a family-filled opportunity to come out, and it's given back to the 501c3, which supports after-school programs and different social programs for inner city children throughout the area and abroad. So they just received a recognizable accreditation as well as honor from the First Lady of the United States, First Lady Michelle Obama. So that is definitely a credible thing that they're doing over there. So if you can get out and be a part of it, that's wonderful. Now, off the soapbox, I just want to say in my closing remarks, definitely be true to yourself and be true to others. Christmas time and the holidays is not about giving materialistic gifts,
but it is about giving of yourself first, making sure that you're intact, and then in return, everything else will exude out. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another wonderful, wonderful segment episode, of course, of the I Got Something to Say radio show. To our sponsors, Flexman, to my cousin who does the music for us, Game Face, we thank you so, so very much. To Javor Patterson and his wonderful wife, Unique Patterson, thank you for continuously supporting. And to everyone else that I've negated to mention, please charge it to my head and not my heart. And remember, life is short and so is my real hair. So good night until we meet again, ladies and gentlemen. And the time is now, what? Not 11:55, nah. But it's 11:07 Eastern Standard Time. We've enjoyed you so very much. Be safe and be true to yourself. Good night, everybody.
Good night and be safe, nah.
Nah.
Good night.
Say something. I